Just want to share with you tonight, just for a brief moment, from the scriptures. As we approached this 4th of July and Independence Day, I began to think about all the freedoms that we are able to enjoy and what are those different types of freedoms, different kinds of freedoms that we are able to enjoy. And I began to think about them and began to jot some down. And I also began to go online and Google. You know, you can find anything on Google. You can Google just about anything. And I began to find just different things that people had written. And like one person had written, for example, the freedom of assembly. You know, there's the freedom of association, freedom of movement, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of thought, freedom to bear arms. Someone else wrote, you have political freedom to vote for whom you want. You have religious freedom to worship as you please. You can have financial freedom if you are fortunate enough to have lots of money. And if you have freedom to, you have freedom also to live wherever you want to and go when you want to. There are all kinds of freedoms to be had. Just take them and run. And I began to think about that. You know, like, you know, so many things we take for granted. The freedom to just be able to go, you know, to the supermarket and go on a shelf and, you know, pick something out that you'd like. You know, that, you know, you might go to a third world country and maybe not have access to, you know. And these are just some of the things we are able to do in just freedom. I think of the ability to just go to Baskin Robbins and get a butter pecan ice cream, you know, or to go to Haagen-Dazs and get, you know, some vanilla ice cream, or to go to the, you know, supermarket and go to and pull out Ben and Jerry's mint chocolate chip cookie. I mean, you know, just the freedom that we have, you know, to be able to do these things and enjoy these things in this country, you know. And I began to think about these things. But, you know, when you think about all these freedoms and you've experienced them, but then you know Christ and you know the freedom he brings, there's no greater freedom than that freedom that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you come to know him, and tonight I'm not talking to you about a religion. You know, there is freedom of religion, but what I'm talking to you tonight is not about a religion. It's about a living relationship with God. Hallelujah. It's a relationship that ultimately results in an incredible freedom. And you heard about that tonight. And everyone who is on this platform, every musician, every choir member, if you were to sit down and interview them, they would be able to tell you their own story. Or someone here in the congregation that might have been standing next to you and exuberantly clapping their hands or lifting their voice or cutting some steps back and forth as they were, you know, just praising God. They would have their own story, you know, to be able to tell you tonight of the goodness of God and all that he's done for us. Hallelujah. Tonight I think of a young man whose his testimony that he had written for me says that he lived with both his parents and that his father had a drinking problem and used to smoke a lot of weed and was verbally abusive. His mother smoked weed and cigarettes and drank as well. He said, my mother died of cancer and my father changed the locks and kicked me and my older brother out. He said, we moved in with my aunt and uncle, and my uncle did heroin and cocaine, and my aunt had a drinking problem. We could not seek help from the system because they had an open BCW case against them for drugs, and they had four kids of their own. He went on to write and say, one day my aunt approached me and my brother and accused us of calling BCW and kicked us out from there. And then me and my older brother then moved in with my stepmother. My older brother knew her sons and she took us in. And that's when he said, he went on to write that we began smoking weed. And I began smoking weed and partying. He says, but then one day I was drunk and high riding the train and ran into a brother from Times Square Church. And he said, and I gave him my number, and he started calling me, and I would hang up on him, but he just kept calling. He says, I ended up losing my job, and then I got kicked out of school. and everything just was going wrong in my life. He said, but then all of a sudden the phone rang. And he says, and it was this brother. And he invited me to go to church. And he said, so finally I just came. I just went to church. And he said, on March 28th, 1999, I gave my life to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, now I've been saved for 10 years at the point he had given me this. He says, I'm married. I have two sons. He says, I'm an assistant manager at a company. And he says, I'm free. I'm free from drugs. I'm free from alcoholism. And now I'm able to minister to young people who were bound just like I was. And now I know the freedom that only Christ can bring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, in Christ, there is freedom from the burden and guilt of sin. There's freedom from bondage and captivity that sin brings. There's freedom from cigarettes, freedom from alcohol, freedom from smoking weed, freedom from depression, freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear of the future, freedom from hopelessness, freedom from anger, freedom from fits of rage. There's freedom from aimlessness, freedom from directionlessness, freedom from wondering, why am I here? What is my life all about? There's freedom from lack of purpose. But folks, there's not only freedom from things. When you come to Christ, you've come to know that there's freedom to love. There's freedom to hope again. There's freedom to trust again. There's freedom to praise. There's freedom to dance. There's freedom to rejoice. There's freedom, hallelujah, to come boldly into his presence, to his throne of grace, to obtain mercy and all types of help in our times of need. Hallelujah. So that you and I don't have to go at this alone, but that we can serve and know an awesome God who is on our side. And the scriptures say, if God be for us, who can then be against us? But in order to know this freedom, we must be willing to acknowledge our need of God. It's not enough to go to church and to lift my hands and to sing the songs. It's not enough to go through religious motions like I once used to do. But folks, you and I have to come to that point where we're willing to acknowledge that we need God on a daily basis, that we need him and that we want him, that we invite him to take control of our lives. The scripture says that we have all sinned. That there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all come short of God's glorious, holy standard of living. What is sin? I ask you tonight. It can be defined as lawlessness or a transgression of God's will, either by omitting to do what God's law requires or by doing what it forbids. The transgression can occur in our thoughts, it can occur in word, or it can occur in a deed. Mankind was created without sin, morally upright and inclined to do good. But sin entered into the human experience when Adam and Eve violated God's direct command by eating of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Because Adam was the head of the whole human race, his sin affected all future generations. Associated with this guilt is a corrupt nature that was passed from Adam to all his descendants. Out of this perverted nature arise all the sins that people commit. No person is free from involvement in sin, according to the scriptures. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8 says. It says, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him, meaning God, out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. What are the consequences? What are the repercussions? What are the results of living a life of sin? Isaiah 57, verse 20 puts it this way, but those who still reject God are like the restless sea. It is never still, but continually churns up mire and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord, says God. There is no peace for those that live a life independently of God. John 3:18 says, there is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, trust in Jesus. But those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. 2 Thessalonians says, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Sin is not represented by the Bible as the absence of good or as something that stems from our human limitations. Sin is portrayed as a real and positive evil. Sin is more than unwise, inexpedient, calamitous behavior that produces sorrow and distress. It is rebellion against God's law, the standard of righteousness, the standard that you and I are called to live by. Since God demands righteousness, sin must be defined in terms of mankind's relation to God. Sin is thus the faithless rebellion of the creature against the just authority of his creator. For this reason, breaking God's law at any point involves transgression at every point. Violation of the law in thought, word, or deed shows the sinfulness of the human heart. And it is actually a contradiction of the holiness of God, whose image we all bear. It involves a denial of the living God from whom human beings draw their life and existence. And the consequence of this revolt is death and torment in hell for all eternity. Death is ultimately the penalty imposed by God for our sin. Revelations 21 verse 8 says, but cowards who turn away from me and unbelievers and the corrupt and murderers and the immoral and those who practice witchcraft and idol worship and all liars will face their doom in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur. But folks, tonight there is good news. The scriptures tell us that God so loved you and I that he could not stand the thought of us being separated from him for all eternity in a hell. The Bible says, for God so greatly and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only son so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish or come to destruction or be lost for all eternity, but have everlasting life. Isaiah put it this way, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. The chastisement that was needful for you and I to know peace with God and peace in this life from all its turmoils was placed upon him. And with the stripes that he was wounded, we are healed and made whole. Hallelujah. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of us all. First Peter says this, for God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not with mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. That's why we sing about the blood of Jesus and the fact that it was shed for us. Because his blood was shed for us, we can now know the cleansing of God for all eternity. We can know that our sins that have been recorded in heaven, every evil deed, every evil thought, every evil motive that we had experienced that was recorded in heaven is wiped completely clean. Hallelujah. And the burden and the guilt and the shame of that sin, and not only our sins and the sins that we have committed against God and others, but even the shame of the sins that were committed against us can be relieved. The sin of sexual abuse and molestation can be wiped away. The sin and shame of abortion is wiped away for all eternity. God chose Christ for this purpose long ago, even before the world began. God knew Adam would fall in sin. And already, before the world began, the Bible tells us that God had a plan. Do you know when Adam sinned, he wasn't taken by surprise and all of a sudden wringing his hands, wondering what to do next. He already had a plan. He had already made an agreement with his son even before the world began. He had commissioned his son, and his son had gladly accepted the mission to come to earth and to live a sinless, perfect life, walking about, doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. And this he did for you and for me. Tonight I think of another testimony of someone who said, I suffered from depression. I used to curse all the time. I used to have a lot of hurt due to verbal and physical abuse. But then one day Jesus came along and he offered me salvation. And he began to speak to me. And he began to open the scriptures to me. And all of a sudden, I had an understanding that I never had before. And this person went on to say, Jesus changed my life by showing me that I was called to forgive and love those who had hurt me. Because he loved me enough to forgive me of all the hurt I had caused him. And this person said, his love melted my heart and broke my pride. They went on to say, once I surrendered to Jesus, I was set free from depression. And God filled my heart with an indescribable joy in him. And one day I was just reading the Bible and I came across this scripture. Avoid godless and foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. And I knew that it was wrong to curse. And so I asked God to help me by changing the way I talk. And he simply did. And now, because of his love that he has shown me and placed in me, I can now love, and not only love, I can now love those who don't love me and those who have hurt me. Hallelujah. Folks, tonight I'm talking to you about a supernatural transformation that only God can bring. Folks, this is real love, not like the world. It's a love that the world can't give, and a love that the world can't take away. The scripture said this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only ours, the sins of the whole world. All you and I have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus, and we will be saved in our house. God says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. Saved and set apart to God. You now belong to God. You become God's son, God's daughter. But not only that, he begins to walk with you and he talks with you. And he leads you and he guides you. And he gives you a new song. It's a song of praise. It's a song of praise to God. Before I came to Christ, I used to be into hip-hop, violence. You name it, I was into it. Cursing all the time, foul mouth, all these things. I couldn't change. Every New Year's Eve, I'd make a resolution. I'm going to change. And it wasn't 5 minutes before something would just come out of my mouth. And I remember even when I came to the Lord, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I just remember just being so frustrated with this particular habit. And I remember one day I came to church, and some of you have heard me tell this story. I was on my way to church, and as I'm coming to church, I had these Christians in the car with me, and I was turning. I was on my way to church, and I'm turning to go. I'm making a U-turn. I'm getting ready to make a U-turn just to pull in front of the church to drop this brother or sister off, and in front of the church. And as I'm making this U-turn, I had to make a K-turn. So I pull up to the curb and I'm turning like this, and this car just rushes up and starts honking, honking, honking. And all of a sudden I turn around, and I lost myself. I turned around and I'm blankety blank, blank, you blank, you know, and all of a sudden it was like slow motion. And I turn around and I look at this brother who's sitting next to me, and he's like, and I look at this girl, sister behind me, and she's like sinking in her, melting in her seat. And folks, it was like slow motion. And all of a sudden, I realized what had happened. And I hung my head. I pulled up in front of the church, and it was very quiet in that car. They opened the door and they got out quietly. And they walked into church, and I remember parking the car and coming into church, and I couldn't even lift my hands. I couldn't lift my hands. I couldn't sing. I felt so ashamed and so bound. I felt so frustrated with this habit, and I remember just hanging my head and God just speaking to my heart. I remember just saying, God, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, forgive me, but I couldn't even do anything. And all of a sudden, I heard God's voice, and he just said, just trust me and love me. Just trust me and love me. In other words, just trust me and serve me. And folks, I don't know when it happened, but one day, it was gone. Freedom. I said freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Folks, he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. So he invites you tonight. And he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. For the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek and save the lost. He says, if you come to me, I will never reject you. I will never cast you out. Tonight you might be here and be maybe thinking in your mind, well, Pastor, I've tried before. I gave my heart to Jesus once, and I've tried living for God, and and all these things are racing through your mind. You know, as Betty was testifying here, I leant over to Pastor William and I said, you know, she shared my scripture because that was a scripture the Lord had given me from Isaiah 41, which says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will help you. The Lord is faithful, and he will establish you, and he will keep you from the evil one and every one of his wiles, every one of his traps, every one of his schemes. God will keep you. Tonight, would you bow your heads with me all over this place? Main floor up in the balcony. If you say, Pastor, tonight I walked in here and I didn't know what to expect, but through the songs, through the joy, through the testimonies, through what's been shared, I now know that Christ loves me and has a plan for my life, and I'm tired of going at this on my own. I want to know the forgiveness of God. I want to walk with God. I want this relationship that I heard so much about tonight. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender everything to him. Would you raise your hand all over this house, on this main floor, up in the balcony, in the annex, all over this place. Join these that are raising their hands tonight. God loves you. And he set this night up for you. The Bible says he will leave the 99 and he goes after the one because he loves you. You can place your hand down. There might be someone else here who maybe you walked with God at one point, but you drifted away. You're backslidden. Or maybe you were hurt or wounded in the house of God and it put a distaste in your mouth and you turned away from God and you left his house in frustration. But God brought you here tonight and he wants to reconcile you back to himself. And you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you raise your hand tonight? Raise your hand tonight. God sees those hands. Quietly and reverently, we're going to stand all over this house. Let's stand together. I want to give an invitation. Those of you who raised your hand, would you make your way to either aisle, any of the aisles up in the balcony, go to either exit, and would you come down and join me here at the front, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together tonight, and we're going to ask God for forgiveness. We're going to ask him for cleansing. We're going to ask him for the new life that only he can give. He's going to bring freedom in your life like you've never known. There's freedom in Christ tonight. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Up in the balcony, all over this place. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. That's God tugging. God the Holy Spirit, he's tugging at your heart. He's saying, this is your night for a miracle. This is why you were born. To know him, to walk with him. I plead with you tonight, be reconciled to God. Would you be reconciled to God tonight? We're going to worship for a few moments and then we're going to come back and we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those of you who have responded tonight to give your heart to the Lord, the Bible says that when you come to Christ and you acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need him to be your Savior, the Spirit of the living God comes to live on the inside of you and he will begin to change you from the inside out. A Christian is not a person trying to act like Jesus. A Christian is a person whose life has been invaded by the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, and he comes to live this supernatural life on the inside of the person as they daily trust in their Savior. So tonight, would you raise both your hands to God as a sign of surrender? And I want to lead you in just a simple prayer to help you articulate your need of him. And if you will pray from your heart, God will hear you and he will answer you tonight. Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, tonight I acknowledged that I am a sinner. I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done. God, I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you. From this moment on, I believe that you died and rose again for this very reason, so that I would have a new life and know forgiveness of all my sins for all eternity. I accept your free offer of forgiveness and salvation from my sins. I believe that tonight you are hearing my cry and you are wiping away my record of sins in heaven from all eternity. Tonight I stand justified right with God here on earth and in heaven. I believe that I am now a child of God and saved from the wrath of God, set apart for Christ. Thank you, God, for loving me so. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight, you need to know that the angels of God have all taken up their instruments in heaven and they are now jamming for Jesus because you, God's creation, who was once lost, have now been found. They are celebrating your homecoming right now in heaven. You now belong to Jesus. The devil has nothing on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we ought to praise him.